Blog Talk Radio.
Stay with me, but I only see you. Come here, baby, let me marry you. Show you all the love that you deserve. Promise you always come first, yeah. Forget about your past, baby. I'm your future, I ain't nothing like your last, baby. Show you things you never had, baby. Show you things you never had, yeah. I will never hurt you, do anything to make you cry. I will always love you, even when I'm right, I still apologize. Why? 'Cause you were my baby. Why? 'Cause you were my baby. When you smiled, I knew right away that my love for you never changed. Can't fight this feeling away. Me and you be endgame, but I know you're scared, baby. Trust me, I'm here, I won't disappear, baby. Let your guard down, come and take a chance on me. Yeah, come and take a chance on me. I will never hurt you, do anything to make you cry. I will always love you, even when I'm right, I still apologize. Why? 'Cause you were my baby. Cause you were my baby. You remember when we'd stay up at night, exchanging stories about our lives. Tell you I got you through thick and thin. Take a risk, baby, give me your hand. I will never hurt you, do anything to make you cry. I will always love you, even when I'm right, I still apologize. Why? You were my baby. Why? You were my
every day, and I've got a couple of words that I like.
this is the stuff. Oh, you're so tough. You put some things on my mind. Now don't desert me, but girl, just hurt me with all the love you can find. Oh, baby girl, my lemon drop, my lollipop. Girl, candy must be your name. Cause your sweetness is my weakness, and I'm damn sure nothing can be this.
Girl, I can't bear to listen to the sunshine every day.
Every day.
No dreariness, a loneliness has sunk in my pathway. Ooh, I never want to call my heart a father. Baby, when we're apart, spend my time hit the spot. Sing an arrow straight to my heart.
No. Good evening, good evening, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight, let's talk about it, where we do date night differently. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and please press 1 to talk about it. I am your host, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic, and tonight, y'all, we're going to do People's Choice tonight. What is People's Choice, you say? People's Choice is where you get to decide the question of the evening when you, your mic is opened. And we will discuss your question. And then it's open mic tonight so you can share whatever piece you like on tonight. Let's give a huge shout out to our illustrious CEO, Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas, y'all. Tonight's show is definitely sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? I got my Raw Links. You got yours. So listen, let me give the rundown of the Epiphany shows for next week. Join us tomorrow night for the Inspiration Factory with your host, Divine Inspiration, a.k.a. Paul Sampson, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night, y'all, is going to be the Soul Cafe with the CEO himself, La Pearl La Negra, Essentially Janice, running the event page, and yours truly, Poetic. Tuesday night, y'all, is going to be Fly Speak with your host, Mojave. Wednesday night is the Love Zone with Miss VIP and La Pearl La Negra. And then, y'all, Thursday night is the Get Down with that dude, Mr. DSP himself, J. Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night, y'all, it's going to be Renaissance Poetry at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with your host, Keith Eric. And then Saturday, next Saturday, is going to be Poetic Therapy with La Pearl La Negra and Stan the Man Phillips. So, let's talk about it. First, I'd like to do my piece before I get into these mics. This piece is called Poetically Her. It's something about her. I mean the way she speaks, her. From the sensual softness of her touch to the beauty in her eyes that say so much. When I see her, I'm nervous with excitement because she is told to be adored with no resentment. Rather greeted like the queen she is, especially when she knows how to handle her biz. Dressed like a Fortune 500 CEO or walking around sipping wine in a chemise listening to Neo. Because she's so independent. But she knows the presence of a man who is diligent in searching and seeking her out to learn her love language, no doubt. She's so stunning and visually appealing. But her mind is so unique, and I'm stealing just a few more glances at her radiance. That's become the object of any man's desire. But just by chance, maybe I can be near her, to smell her, to hear her, to feel her. It's just something about her that I could never see my life without her ever. She is woman. One of my favorite things poetically as a man because she's so dope. Alexa, play Velvet Rope. And that's that piece. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've missed you guys immensely over here. Let's talk about it. You know, but we're back tonight, and I'm curious to see what is on the minds of the poets tonight. So, let's bring in our first poet. Ladies and gentlemen, she is one half host of The Love Zone. She's also the host of Express Your Vibe, and if you missed the show last night, catch it in the archives. Ladies and gentlemen, she is Miss VIP. What's going on, Ms. VIP?
Hey.
How you feeling?
Well, hello. Oh, hi, Poetic. I'm good. How are you?
I am doing phenomenally great, you know. It's a Saturday.
Well, welcome back.
You know, thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Amongst all of you fine people and poets and men, listen, I don't know if I set myself up tonight with this People's Choice topic, but listen, we're going to talk about some things. So,
okay.
What is it that you'd like to talk about tonight?
This is probably a little simplistic, and it might be a little complicated, but who says I love you first? And does it matter?
You know, wow, that's deep. That's really deep. I'm going to answer it in the reverse. I don't really think it matters who says it first, as long as the two of you are on the same journey, on the same path, and it's okay for you to say it. So it doesn't matter who says it first. It's just awkward space when one person says it and the other person is not there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there can be this awkwardness. You know, I've seen one of my favorite shows is The Big Bang Theory, right? And Leonard says to Penny, after they had made love and everything, he says, I love you. And she says she's totally frozen, and I think she says something like, oh, thank you, and rolls over and goes to sleep, right?
Right.
And it's just you as an individual have to be prepared if the other person is not ready to say it back. And I think that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's okay because your level of growth and experience in the relationship has you at a comfortable point that you want to say I love you. But you have to be okay if the other person doesn't feel that same way and they're not going to say it back. Because most of the time what ends up happening, and I will tell you, what ends up happening is one person says it, and then the other person feels obligated, like they have to say it back, even if they don't mean it. And that creates the first error, the first untruth, the first lie in the relationship. Because after that point, the other person that said it first is operating like you're in love with them too, when all in essence, maybe they just love you as a friend, and they said, I love you, but the parameters of the complexities of do you love me or are you in love with me should be clarified.
I only ask that question because in a relationship, no one's a mind reader. And my thing is, if you feel it, then just go with it. And, you know, if that person comes up with you, they do, and if they don't, then they won't. You know what I mean? So,
true.
That's the question.
True. I love it. Man, y'all, okay. I see how y'all coming tonight. First out the gate, we got a thought-provoking question that races the brain cells, that stimulates the mind and make you be like, ooh, this what we doing. But I love it. Great question to open up the show.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Now, what piece would you like to lay on us tonight?
I think I'll do a piece called He.
The mic is yours.
Thanks. I could love him, but I can't imagine me saying the words until I know what I feel is real. He makes me feel safe, secure, more than any pills could do. I can exhale more, learning to quell worries. Yet, my stomach is still turbulent at times. I cannot reveal what I'm going through. Yet, I feel my storm is calm when we speak. I must admit, he makes me weak, especially in the middle of the night and the dawn of the day. I know he cares for me as I do him the same way. The Almighty must be using him definitely. He makes me feel so good, like a woman who is walking in her light. Even in the darkness, he is with me, helping me fight. He has this thing where he holds me through the night in a real spiritual way. I'm actually beginning to feel him. When he gets physical with me, it's a mind thing. It's a groove. And my body wants to move. He says, baby, give it to me. And I do. What do I do about him? Mentally, emotionally, he takes care of me. I could love him, but I can't imagine me saying the words till I know what I feel is real. just last night, it was on the tip of my tongue. Two out of three planes of life he gives to me, and I admit I am beginning to get sprung. And that's that piece.
Ooh-wee. I like this. I like this a lot. You talked about feeling so good that you can walk in the light. Ooh, my gracious. My grace. Ooh. The VIP. VIP. Is this fresh ink or is this something that you've already written?
I think I wrote this last week. And I think I recited it on Venom show.
I love it. I love it.
Amazing. Thank you very much.
Now, before I send you on over to the VIP lounge where you can get you a glass of some fine imported champagne, this time it's coming from Portugal, let everybody know what you've got going on in the Epiphany Radio universe.
Okay, well, Wednesday evening at 9 p.m., my sexy diva, La Perla Negra, and I will be in the Love Zone. The topic is undetermined at this time, but come through because we always have fun. And every alternate Fridays, I have Express Your Vibe, okay, where we all come as ourselves and just express ourselves however we're feeling at the moment. And that's it.
I love it. I love it. Dynamic shows. Y'all, Wednesday night show was phenomenal. The show last night was phenomenal. You know, y'all are doing y'all thing. And listen, I can't wait to hear you next week. And I'm looking forward to the topic. Y'all topics on the Love Zone have been masterful. Y'all have been on point with these topics. Let me tell you, no pressure, but y'all have been on point. Congratulations to you and your sexy diva, La Perla Negra. But there's a glass of Portugal champagne waiting for you.
Well, thank you.
Make sure you take a little sip.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, on her way to the VIP lounge, it's Miss VIP. One love, one mic, and take your socks off, baby, baby.
One love, one mic.
Man, y'all hear this? Right out the gate. We started with some serious stuff already. I love it. All right, y'all. Next up on the mic, we have the other half host of the Love Zone. One half host of Poetic Therapy, and one fourth host of the Soul Cafe. Ladies and gentlemen, we have La Perla Negra. Hey, Danielle.
That Van.
How you doing, darling?
I'm doing.
Good.
This rain got me aching, but I'm doing.
Y'all got rain, man. Old, brisk, windy. It was hot. Oh, man. That's what we got today.
Man, it was nice and stormy here all day. I've been sitting looking out the window at the tree across from me. Damn near blowing down. And that tree is old as hell. Yeah, it's been storming. When I went in the bathroom, I'm like, well, damn, it's still raining. So, yeah.
Wow.
Got me aching, but it's all good.
Yeah. As much as I like the rain, I like to be indoors when it's raining. I don't like being out in it, I got to be honest.
No, I like the rain. Now, y'all know how I am. Y'all know I love the rain, but it's just the way the clouds came over. It just got real dark all of a sudden, like between 3 and 4 o'clock. I said, what the hell? I had to turn my light on.
Oh, man.
Why is it so dark?
Man.
And then I looked up, and then the sky was damn near black. And then just the wind came through real strong. I said, all right, okay, I'm sit still. It's all good.
Okay. All right. Got your body aching. I think that's a piece.
Yeah.
You know that's a piece. The rain got my body aching. You know that's a piece.
It could
you know
be.
Piece.
It could, it could
right
be.
Now, right it's now.
I'm biting it.
You better write it. You came out your mouth.
Lord, I got it.
All right, now, What question would you like to talk about tonight?
All right. My question is, do you have a tendency or do you find yourself making comparisons between new relationships and the old ones?
Yes. The crazy thing, Danielle, is I only did it after my second divorce because I vowed that I would not allow another woman to play me the way that I had been played before. Before that, I didn't look at things like that because I felt like everyone deserves a fair chance. Everyone deserves not to be looked at as a prior person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm harder now than I was before, but I never used to look at it that way. And I feel like because I didn't look at it that way is what caused me to be in the position that I was in my second marriage, where I was totally blind, totally naive, because what I thought was love ended up being a lie. So before that, no, every relationship was different. And I still believe that every relationship is different. It's just that there are components from the previous relationships that should be like, dare I say, a red flag that you should pay attention to.
Right.
But instead of pushing somebody off or pushing someone away, here's another thing that I struggle with is maybe we should talk about why that's a red flag for me. And what I've found trying to move on past that is whenever I've identified a red flag and I've communicated it, for whatever reason, a woman still manages to find a way to use that, whatever I've told them, to either be exactly like that or to hurt me in the process. So I'm just more careful. But so my answer is today, right now, present, I would. I still will try to give a fair chance. But if I share with you something that has happened from the past or something that's a concern for me, if I'm sharing this with you, that means that, okay, I want to give us a chance. But here are the things I struggle with. And at that point, it is up to you to decide whether or not you want to proceed or you want to back off. Because once I've given you this information, it's up to you at that point to be like, okay, well, I want to pursue this. But you can't wanting to pursue this and then do the things that I've told you that has been a problem for me.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What
me
about
myself?
You?
I don't make comparisons, but I do pick up on the similarities and behaviors from previous relationship, and if I find that it bothers me, I will address it, but I would never bring up the actual person who displayed those same irritants, so to speak. Because honestly, it's okay to address it, but what I learned from my marriage, that's a major mistake when you bring up the actual person that did the same thing to you. That's a surefire way to the possible demise of your relationship. Just talk about what it is that's bothering you. And you know what? I agree with you about getting that out in the open in the beginning of the relationship and giving that person a chance. A lot of people don't do that. When they are starting a relationship with somebody, they just spring it on them, you know, and then they say, well, that's just the issue I have. It's not fair. So I agree with that part. But, yeah, my husband used to do that to me. Such and such used to do that. And the worst thing he can say is, well, she never used to do that. Man, I'm trying to tell you.
Now, you know what? That right there, that will destroy your relationship out the gate. She never used to do that, or he did this, or he didn't do that. You should never belittle your current person with something with someone's past. That is a no-no. That's disrespectful. And it basically the person that you have no faith in them. And I don't agree with that. Like, I wouldn't do that. I would just, what I would say is, you know, I've identified these areas from my past, and I've explained them to you. And most of the time, when you talk about past relationships with the new person, the hope is that they're paying attention to the things that happened in the past relationship that is bothersome for you, and this may be your way of communicating that. Because a bad thing to do is to try to communicate that when it happens. Identify your triggers, identify what issues you have, and make those things known up front. Because that way you don't get into this, well, she didn't do that, well, he didn't do this, later in the relationship. After you've already made a commitment that you were going to be together, now, because, quote, unquote, we're bad communicators. So we can't communicate. So now I'm communicating the best way I know how. Is that the right way? Absolutely not.
You're right. And you know what? It's not just communicating. It's understanding what you are communicating to that person, making sure that they comprehend it's getting through to them what I'm saying to you. If I'm explaining something to you and you don't understand it, let me know, and I will try to put it a different way. I'm still going to tell you what it is, but I'm going to try to put it a different way. So that's a major issue, too, people actually comprehending what you're saying. But some people don't understand some shit that folks have gone through in the past, you know, because they haven't experienced it, and then they're like, well, how can that be? You know, I ain't never heard of that. Just because you never heard of it doesn't mean that it didn't happen, okay?
Yeah. Right.
And that's another thing that irritates me. I never heard of that. So it don't mean that it didn't happen. Okay. So, yeah, that's my issue.
I love it. Man, another deep, thought-provoking question. I love it. Man, you guys are on it tonight. Now that we've gotten that part out of the way, what piece did you bring for us tonight?
Well, the piece that I did want to read, I never did write it over and make the corrections in it, so I can't understand for hell I wrote. So I'm going to read something now.
Okay.
Well, I'm serious. I cannot understand. You know, I don't know if you do it, but I cross out certain things, and I'll scribble the words that I wanted to put real tiny ones on top of it. And I'm like, oh, that's that I wrote. I don't know what that says. All right, well. I'll work with it later. But, and this one is way off topic, but here it goes. It has no title.
Mike is yours.
Reminiscing on the way we felt. Not having you is what keeps me at bay. I even miss the anticipation in the buildup to your touch, your smell. The long kiss after I taste you, you taste me, we taste we. And skin. A slow ride in tune with the slow stroke. Damn. And it was always a go. No place was taboo. There were no rules to be broken because we'd broken them all. We just let them watch. Night air especially gets to me because that was your favorite. I miss the nibbles on my nipples and your fingers inside me. And oh, how I miss the way you rub the tip across my lips. My mouth just waters thinking about how high I get from it. I still feel you there, a swelling right before you explode, and that taste. You taste so good. You love the way I taste too. my drip, my gush running down your chin. So juicy. This has got to be a sin for you to know me like this. Damn, sex. Do you miss me? Because I fucking miss you. And that's that peak.
Ooh-wee. You know, I was all ears. I was all ears with this. And once you started talking about taste and skin and got me over here rocking back and forth like, because you know I absolutely love sensual pieces about taste and skin.
Thank you. That is not what I was going to do today. I was trying to read them words I wrote on the paper. I was like, oh, God. Actually, I thought that I was going to be, like, pulled in later, and I was trying to write the corrections down on a clean sheet of paper. I was like, what?
That right there was delicious. Dare I say, like La Perla Negra says, what have you bought? I know you bought us something delicious to listen to. And that right there was definitely delicious to my ears. Ooh, giving me all types of mental visuals. And whew.
That's what I like to do to y'all, y'all know.
I know. I'm looking at my empty bed like, I got a message for you. Akil Ali says, uh-oh, where is his cornbread? He said, where is his cornbread? Why he ain't got it yet?
Lord, mercy. Well, I'm coming, nigga.
That's right. That's
don't
right.
Leave me alone
that's
about
right.
That damn cornbread. After me for 3 years, he ain't get the message yet.
Oh man! All right. Ho! Fellas! Wait! Look! Y'all not gonna do this tonight. Okay? I know it's been about a month. I understand it. I apologize. Y'all still got paid y'all regular pay. What you mean it ain't about the pay? It's about the fact that y'all ain't got done yet. It's the fact that y'all got La Perla Nick. Oh my God.
I just got it now. Go ahead, finish what you're saying, but I just got it. I'm gonna tell you what's going on.
What do you do to my security team? What do you do? Why do they act
they
like
just
this?
Have very good, you know what, I'm like their therapist. They need to talk. Speaking of therapists, now I see why you got my therapist the way she is, because these guys. It's cool, though. I get it now. You know what? I didn't put it together now. I just now hit me.
You got it.
Okay. Put it together. All right, touche. Yeah. Okay. I see now.
Now, before I send you over to the VIP lounge where my security team can't wait to get their hands on you, apparently, can you let everybody know what you got going on in the Epiphany Radio universe?
I sure can. Okay. Saturday night, alternating Saturday nights with Poetic. I am in Poetic Therapy with my awesome co-host, that crazy mountain man, Sam the Man Phillips. Y'all come on over there and relieve some mental stress. Do some open mic poetry or some healthy conversation. Monday nights, I am 1/4 host of the Neil Soul Cafe with Faria, the CEO of Epiphany Radio, a.k.a. Author Larry Maddox. Essentially, Johnny's, who does an awesome job on the event page. Y'all check it out when the show is up and running. And that's any night she's handling it. And Poetic. And we also have a second half of the show we do called Pick Up Your Pen. And that helps you tap into your creative writing side, where you get tested to write a piece from these phrases that you're given within the time frame of a song that is being played. Now, y'all, come on over, give it a try. You never know what kind of creation you will birth. And Wednesday night, I am in the love zone with my sexy, sultry voice diva, Ms. VIP. Now, the topic, like you said, is up in the air, but I'm sure we'll figure out something, and we know you're going to love it. So y'all come on over there Wednesday night, get caught up in the love zone. Back to you, man.
Oh, shucks now. All right, y'all heard it. Check her out this coming Monday, Wednesday, and then Saturday. Oh, man, she's got a busy week. But, okay, fellas, okay, all right. I got to let you go. They harassing me again. I'm the boss, but they're harassing me. All right. Please get on over there to the VIP lounge. They got the glasses of imported champagne from Portugal. So, you know, drink as much as you want. Hang out. Have a good time. One love,
most
one mic.
One love, one mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is La Pearl La Negra. Oh, man, what a fire piece. So sensual, so steamy. Oh, I love it. We're going to keep this party going. Next on the mic, y'all, is the one and only CEO himself of Epiphany Radio, author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas, baby, baby. What it do, bro?
Take your socks on. What it do, Van, a.k.a. Poetics Meadows. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. It's a good Saturday night, man. You know, the weather cooperated.
Yes, it is.
It's just beautiful, you know. It's just beautiful Saturday night, man. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man. I'm feeling good, feeling zesty, full of life and zeal. If you may, I put, you know, chosen words are given to me by my brother, J-Rod, the wise son. Feeling good, man.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you're here, bro. Glad you're here, bro. And listen, it's people's choice tonight. That means you get the direction that we dialogue about tonight. So, what's your thought tonight, brother?
My thoughts. I have a question for you, my brother. When in a relationship, this is different. This is a little. This might be off key, a little different. But this is mostly. This would have been back in the day a question for just the guys, but in this modern day, it goes for the ladies as well. And this is sports related, bro.
Okay.
This is sports related. For those that are fanatical about their sports and their sports team, how do you have a beautiful and wonderful football season with your loved one? And I ask that because you may have a spouse that's into it with you, but what if you're one of those people that don't have their spouse? Or do you have any sports rituals that you share with your significant other? Do you know where I'm going with this at, bro?
I do, bro. I do. And man, listen. Mm-hmm. Let me answer that question the best way that I could, right? Because one of my ex-wives couldn't stand football, right? The other ex-wife, she alluded that she enjoyed football until I became her husband, because I love football. Sundays after church, I'm home. I'm not moving until the last game goes off. I'm not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen. We get a few months of the year as football fans to enjoy the football season. And from that, she grew to hate football. After telling me that she loved football, she grew to hate football. So in order to have a successful football season, there has to be communication that this is what's going on, this is what's happening. Hopefully you got a spouse or a mate that loves the sport as much as you love the sport, right? That would be ideal. I think the most painful thing would be if y'all happen two different teams in the same divisions, i.e. you're an Eagles fan and she might be a Giants fan or a Redskins fan or a Cowboy fan. Y'all can have some problems, you know, butting heads.
Yeah.
But it makes for it makes for good rivalry. It makes the relationship thrive because y'all got something that y'all can go back and forward about. But it is necessary and important that, one, now, I don't mind if a woman doesn't like football. I don't mind. But if she says that she wants to learn and just no one has never taught her, oh, man, that's a perfect scenario because I can brainwash her to be a 49ers fan without any problems. It's easy.
Yeah.
But until she learns the game and then she starts watching, she's like, well, yeah, I decide I don't like them. I like this team. But bro, yeah, I just think that those boundaries, that I think that's definitely a date night discussion before y'all decide that y'all want to commit. Because those boundaries have to be clear that you love a sport. I mean, it doesn't have to be just football. I mean, I enjoy basketball too. You know? You know what I'm saying? I mean, whatever your sport of choice is, you know, you have to communicate that because, Lord forbid, you know, I feel so bad saying this. Lord forbid if, you know, you're heavy into church and there's a second service and I'm not going to a second service on Sunday. Ooh. I'm not going. It's clear. I told my bishop I will support you from a distance, my brother. I will send my representative, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to be there. You know, but
I feel you.
That's my take on it, bro. What do you think, man? How do you do it? How would you do it?
Amen. Well, you know, there's been ups and downs with different partners now. Now, when I was married, my wife, she was like mediocre about football. She was never into basketball, but football, I think she got more into it because she saw how much and how passionate I was towards it. So mm-hmm. her way to make my football Sunday pleasant was she would fry up some chicken specifically for the game and make this dip, and she would cook for me and my boys, you know, or my best friend or whatever guys I had in the crib, you know, that was gathered around to watch the game. That was her part of it. She loved doing that for us. And then as doing that, she began watching it with us, and she became, you know, like part of the, you know, the football team, you know, the tailgaters, you know what I'm saying? So she got into it. But then there was another after my wife that she didn't know not too much about football, but she knew about my passion for it. But at the same time, knowing how I felt about, you know, my team and about football on Sundays, she would interrupt and do things that would annoy me, knowing full well, and I think you understand this part right here. And there's some women out here that it's more women today that love the sport than anything, man. So, but whoever's a football lover or a sports lover, tell me if this. I don't want phone calls. I don't want to be disturbed. I don't want my kids running in, dad. You know, it's something about just being in front of your TV, there with your team, coaching from the sidelines on your couch or wherever you're watching it from. You don't want to be disturbed. So if a person knows how you feel about it and they do it anyway, I relate that to anything. At this time, football is just a metaphor for anything that you could have a passion for, anything that you love or so much into, and you explain that to your partner and they don't find no interest in it. I mean, I can understand you not being interested, but when you do things and you just don't, you know, can't respect my space type of thing.
Right.
Okay. Because the conversation we're having right now could be about other things other than football or basketball. It could be about anything that you love. Poetry, for instance.
Sure.
You know?
So you know, bro, it's funny you say that, man, because, you know, on Sundays I drive sometimes 7, 8, 9 hours. And the bulk of that time is during the first afternoon game and the second afternoon game. And I might not actually get to watch a full football game until maybe Monday. Maybe Monday. Because my games are always broken up on Sundays, and then, you know, with the shows and everything. You know, of course, unless the 49ers is a televised game, that I'm just, you know, I'm not available. Okay? I'm not available.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I'm not available. But I'll be listening to the games while I'm driving. I got SiriusXM, so I listen to all of the games while I'm driving, right? And when my 49ers is the only game I listen to. And I really don't like answering the phone when I'm driving and I'm listening to my games. It irritates me. It irritates me because I can't get to watch the game. At least let me listen to the game. No. So, but yeah, but I feel you on that, my brother. Hey man, that is a great, great relationship question on Let's Talk About It, because it looks at a different perspective. So I appreciate that, bro. I really do appreciate that, man. Thank you so much. Another thought provoking. Hey man, but what did you bring but to hear tonight, bro?
I bought something I recently wrote maybe a couple of weeks ago. I'm not sure if I performed it for you guys. I may have or may not have. But this piece is titled I Painted Her.
Okay, the mic is yours.
Thank you. I painted her. I painted her with my emotions, covered her canvas completely with who I was and how I felt about her. I painted her. I painted her with a brush dipped in everything that I've been feeling. Words. No need to be spoken. My heart and how it feels lay on a display like a book, wide open. You can hear its humming amusements. It vibrates in vibrant tones not meant for human ears to hear, no. It pulsates in tiny waves, massaging the inside where the soul lies. I be that, love. I be that. I be that that they say to be, that what you intend to attract, magnetic. So, with a bit of me, I place in the atmosphere to see what it bounces back. I wait, using as a lure my heart as bait, patiently just to see what it attracts. Yet, there's nothing in this air but thickness, getting hard to breathe in this, yet it clears, dissipates it. Disappears and the sky falls love on me, tender and sweet. Finally, love bounces back to me. See, she is what I catch, like a cold, contagious. Her contagions flood me, her thoughts paint me, sensations cover me, her oily substance decorates me, delicate fingers tracing vivid images, illustrating her feelings, iridescent imaginings. She paints upon me. I'm her canvas. She paints me acrylic, fast drying, her brush covering over stresses of a stained and depressed past where most time was spent just surviving. Her brush revives me. See, I come to life the more she touches, fingers brushing lightly against me, creating this portrait of we, this work of art brought to life spiritually, this painting of her and me, resting calmed, beautiful pastels, watered colors rise from this image that she creates of me. The oil paint hardens where her brush last brushes against me, touching. What type of magic is this where we create our own images, bring them to life and receive a kiss from the artist? Poetic, isn't it? So I reach out with these lips and plant them upon her canvas. My brush totally drained, depleted of its ink, I painted her with my emotions, covering her canvas completely with who I am and how I feel about her. As I painted her, shadowed blemishings of dismay, I drew over her yesterday's pains. I caressed all her mistakes and left her no regret. I painted her with a brush dipped in unconditional thickness, as I painted her with a brush dipped in love. Dipped in love. I painted her for real.
My gosh, bro. My goodness. Yo. man, you went in on that piece, man, talking about you dipped your brush and you painted, bro. Metaphors is crazy. But that's why you're yep. CEO, bro. That's why you're the man, bro.
Hey.
Because what ends up happening is as you painting her, when that paint drips off your brush onto not the floor, not the, you know, the remaining part of the canvas, but it drips on to the rest of the Epiphany universe, and we take some cues and we begin to start painting some new pictures with different colors because of what you have presented. So my bro, phenomenal.
Hey, thank you, bro. Thanks a lot,
nah,
brother. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Now, listen, before you go over to that VIP lounge and get some of the imported champagne I got from Portugal, don't worry about the cost. I've already worked with the accounting team. I am the accountant. And we got that already budgeted out, so you don't have to worry about the invoice and what it costs. But let everybody know what you got going on in the Epiphany Radio universe.
Hey, yes, sir. Thank you. Monday night at Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network, you will be at the Soul Cafe along with myself, Poetic, Miss Pearly, and Essentially Johnny's, where we'll be open mic this Monday, and the second half as Miss I'm sorry, I laugh because I keep wanting to say Miss Darnell. Miss Danielle spoke earlier. Hey, the second half is we read through some creative writing by what we call picking up our pen. Where we throw some phrases out there, and you have until the song stops playing or I cut it off to have your piece written. And that's a fun creative writing game that we have, and I'd like for everybody to come and join us and test your own self out. But that part of the show, you don't have to have a piece because we create them right there on the spot, and we share them. And we do a lot of talking and sharing of each other's creative pen and what moves us. That's at the Soul Cafe this Monday night, y'all. And don't forget, it's about the music, so you're going to hear some neo-soul, hip-hop, some trap, some jazz, and we're just going to have a good old time Monday night at the Soul Cafe, Shababy, baby. And that's that piece.
Take socks off.
Back to you, man.
Y'all heard it there. Y'all heard it from the CEO himself. On his way to the get down, haha! I had a for real moment, y'all. I had a for real the poet Douglas moment, y'all. Get ready to make the show,
baby. I felt it coming, baby.
VIP lounge to grab some champagne. For real, the poet Douglas. Hey man, listen. Ho! Before I send you off, amen.
Yes, sir.
How about doing a live on-air commercial for Raw Links?
Raw Links, a live on-air commercial for Raw Links?
Yes, sir, bro. Give it to him.
Hey, Raw Links can be found on Facebook under Raw Links braw@facebook.com. Hey, look, Raw Links is for the adventurous. You know, why be average when you can be raw? What we provide for you are precious gems, precious stones, precious crystals. This is not your average piece of jewelry. Not only is it fashionable, but they have healing properties to them. It's not cheap. Hey, but neither are you. So be selfish and support yourself. Supporting Raw Links. Hey, Raw Links, be raw. Baby, baby. Back to you, sir. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, good brother. No, man, thank you, man. I got my Raw Links. You got yours? Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey man, y'all can also hit any of the Epiphany Radio hosts up for some Raw Links to let them, they can guide you to making sure that you get some of your Raw Links. All right, my brother. One love, one mic.
All right.
Tell you to take
one love, one mic, bro. Baby, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight, it's Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. The dial-in number, if you're listening in online, is 319-527-6300. And please press 1 to get on the mic and let's talk about it. Now, there's no topic tonight. It's people's choice, which means you get to provide the question of the evening. And let's talk about a few things.
What's up? This is your girl, Benita Applebaum, and you are listening to Epiphany Radio.
Hello?
You know what? I'm talking on mute, bro. Ladies and gentlemen,
my
brother, Akil Ali. What's good with you, bro? I'm sitting up here having a whole conversation and I'm muted.
Right? Who was you talking to? Who was you talking to? What's your name?
Look, I was talking what's to myself, good, apparently. What's good,
yeah,
man?
I'll be
how you feeling?
Ah, man, I'm good, man. You know, man, I've been going through some things, but God is good. I'm still here, baby.
Yes, sir. You better believe it. You better believe it, man.
How's your family, man? You good?
Oh, man. Man, you know what? Thank y'all so much, man. Thank you, bro. Yeah, my son, man, he has at work on Friday, and my phone blowing up, my dad's phone blowing up. I'm getting a text message from his mama while I was in a meeting, and he sprained his ankle, and the nurse thought he might have broke it, so I had to rush up to school, take him to the doctor. So it was just a sprain. So, you know, my son was all nervous because he knew I had to leave work. I said, man, I said, listen, don't worry about that. I said, accidents happen. I said, I'm not upset. I said, I just want to make sure you were okay. So, but he is doing great, and I appreciate y'all, man, for prayers and the wishes, man. So thank you too, brother.
Yeah, brother. Same to you, man. Thanks for reaching out, man. Baby safe. See you home. You know what I mean?
Good. And, Glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Now,
so,
my brother,
man,
tonight is people's choice, man. Tonight is people's choice. You get to pick the topic, the question for the evening for you. So what question does Akil Ali have for tonight? And don't ask about the cornbread. I already covered that.
I heard it. It's cool. I got something for Ali. This is like, my question is like, why are we not like our parents? My dad, if I ever ran away, he said, no, nigga, you ain't run away. You move.
Mm-hmm.
We are not, why are we not our parents? They could shell out tough love like it ain't nothing. It wasn't no Google, because I said so was Google.
Right.
That's it.
Right. You know, I got to be honest. If I'm going to be honest with this. We are not our parents because society and the legal system, the judicial system, has forced our hands to dumb down parenting, right?
Yeah.
You know, I had a conversation with my dad because I didn't agree with some of the things that he did when we were growing up. I'm going to give you all a quick story. I was being bullied in school, right? Elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
What my dad do? My dad gave me a knife, a pen knife. He said, "Here, you see, you keep this on you at all times. Something happened, you use it, right?"
Right.
So I get to school, and I don't even remember who I showed. All I know is I got pulled into the office. My parents were called because I had the knife at school, right?
Yeah, man,
I get home. My mama was so upset. She came and got me. She was so upset. She called my dad. He came over. My daddy whipped me. And I told him to this. I said, "Pa," I said, "why did you whip me for taking a knife to school that you gave me for protection?" "Because your mama said I had to do it." I said, "But you didn't tell my mama that you gave me the knife."
You snitched your own self out.
Right, man, listen, but
showing it all, but you showing it all. You supposed to keep that thing.
I'm supposed to keep it to myself, right? Right. So,
right,
that's the real reason I got the whip,
because
I was showing it. But the system today, man, has really tied our hands at being parents. And I will say this till I turn blue in the face, that without the judicial system, right? You wouldn't have lawyers, you wouldn't have cops, you wouldn't have all of these external factors that keeps them doing the jobs that they do. See, if we don't discipline our kids, what happens? They become the next generation of criminals. And it keeps it a revolving door going around and around and around. And I tell my kid, man, I raise my kids. And I let them know I still raise my kids the way my parents would raise me, to a degree. But that's my thought process on it, man. The system has really, really tied our hands being parents, and they don't back the system doesn't back the parents. If the system backed the parents, I promise you, a lot of things would be different. What say you, good brother?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I used to work at DHS in Philly, and that's Department of Human Services. I mean, I've seen the horror stories of the worst parents ever. So I get why there's systems in place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a catch-22. I mean, back in the day, you didn't have that. It wasn't as rampant. You know. Kids getting fed to dogs and burnt with cigarette butts and all the torture and sexual deviant shit. So, yeah, I get it. You know, the bad parents that made it tough for the ones that want to get some old school ass whoopings. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's only child abuse if the child doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And that's real tough.
Man, it just I hate when I see stuff happen to kids, that especially because these kids don't ask to be here. We as parents make choices to bring them here. They are innocent, you know. They look to us for guidance to help them, to mold them, to shape them to becoming adults. And when someone abuses their rights as a parent, man, and those innocent kids get hurt in the process, it makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, me too. And then make it hard for the ones that, like you, you know what I mean, take care of these kids, getting nothing but love, you know what I mean, stable existence and all that stuff. You know what I mean? It makes it real hard for us when we got to check that.
It does. It does, man. It does, you know, because my daddy, he'd check my kids quick, right? And I had to remind him, hold, they my kids. They're your grandkids, but they my kids. I said, and when it comes to being a disciplinarian in our house, that's going to fall to me. I said, now granted, my kids better not be disrespectful to my daddy, because after all, that is my daddy. So, you know, but but man, this was a this,
well,
this
that's what pop out means. Don't get it twisted. I will pop your ass. I don't care what my own granddaughter that, because she be 13 this year, dog. My grandkids get up there. I'm like, she asked the mother, can granny really hit me?
Right.
Radio kids were coming out there. So I said, I used to beat your mama. What you doing? What you doing?
Man, and hey, listen. And I tell my kids quick. I said, listen. I said, my daddy's butt whippings are a lot different than my butt whipping. I'm just letting you know.
I know.
Because,
right.
Whew, man, listen.
That's
man,
real tough.
You know, but this was a this question, bro. This question was a very, very, very deep, thought provoking question, man. And I love it, man. Because when we talk about relationships, you know, parental relationships are just as important, you know, so I appreciate you, good brother. Now let's move on to what piece did you bring for the evening?
Okay, I got When I'm in Love by your boy.
Oh, man.
The Killer.
Oh, man. The mic is yours, brother.
Danielle, this is so true. I could be revered by a thousand women, but nothing will ever compare to you. You're the apple of my eye. I'm in love with your imperfection. Those are the very things that make you fly. The uniqueness of your beauty has me hypnotized. Your voice serenades my soul like a lullaby. So baby, pick me. Pick me to adore you just right. Choose me, honey, to be right there by your side. Believe me when I say, I want to love you for the rest of your life. So here I am. I stand exposed. I'll reveal my deepest feelings. When I'm around you, rooms don't even have ceilings. Baby, my mind is among the clouds. The butterflies are crowding the dance floor in my stomach right now. My dreams are consumed by your lovely smile, constantly urging me to be a better man. So what's the plan? I'd like to tickle your soul until you let go to every reason you said no. About giving me the honor of seducing your heart. I like to cherish your dreams, be the contributing factor on your team, the common influence on the scene. I want to be your Adam to your Eve. If I have to beg and plead, you will eventually see me. And need my sensibility, I plan to touch your heart. Heartbroken or not, let me soothe your flow. Count on me to encourage your goal. Yep, we're going to go together, I hope you know. Because I played for this soul. When I'm in love, that's how things go. So run that comb thing, you know. You heard? Say word. In peace.
Boy, you, man, you is something else, bro. Listen. I thoroughly enjoyed this piece, man. The dedication, amen, the dominance of it, just letting her know what you want, bro. That's what I'm talking about. None like my brother, Kill Ali. That's what's up,
yeah,
brother. I dig it.
You'll never find another Kill Ali. Let me tell you something. It's all right. Been chasing. I've been chasing that comb, man, for years. I've been, is it that dog? God damn.
3 years. 3 years for some comb, man. 3 years. Man.
Yeah, man.
You know who you are. You better get that man his cornbread. Get him his cornbread.
No,
my brother.
Keep it.
You don't want it now?
No, no, no. You didn't remind me how long I've been waiting. I was like, 3 years. Oh, yeah.
I know that.
I'm in Atlanta. It's 21, baby.
I'm not, but I'm right,
dead now. I got somebody cooking for me some soul food, cornbread, 4 or 5 times, and I chuckled. She's like, what's flavoring it? I said, somebody finally gave me some damn cornbread. So shout out to my baby.
No, that's right. That's
had to
good
come
to
all the way down to Atlanta, get a cornbread from a good one.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Good, man.
Hey, man, listen, yeah, before I send you over to the VIP lounge, man, let everybody know what you got going on your network.
Man, we didn't move to Spotify, and what we're doing is it's a lot of phenomenal actors and poets over there. So we bringing back our piece, the erotic poetry playground, and it's an audio theater play with an open mic in it. You know what I'm saying? So they get to participate as poets. The actors are incredible. So we're just having some fun, man, doing our thing.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. That's good to hear, man. Make sure you put that information in the event page, man, so everybody know where they can find it.
Yeah, I can. I got you.
All right, good brother. Appreciate you, man. Thank you again, man. Stick around. Enjoy the rest of the show, man, and get you a glass of that bubbly in the VIP lounge.
No doubt.
One love, one mic, my brother. Ladies and gentlemen,
one love.
My good brother, Akil Ali, with that dedication piece. That's what I'm talking about, bro. Now we're going to move from my good brother, Akil Ali, to a freestyle queen. Ladies and gentlemen, Gina Storm. Hey, Gina.
Hey, Poetic. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. How you doing?
I'm good. I went on a poetry hiatus because I had to. I'm being featured at the end of the month at Indie Radio, and my niece, Tila Shell, needed 5 recordings from me maximum, but no less than 3. So since I freestyle everything, I've been recording my pieces when I go on mics, but sometimes I'm on a mic and the topic I'm adhering to, I don't feel like it's poetry. I want to represent me in a feature. So I've had to do a lot of, I'm just going to use quotes when I say this, brainstorm. That's why I had to take some time off. So I could use my gray matter for good and not evil and actually get the task. Yeah, I can't procrastinate on a feature. Right.
I love it. Well, congratulations. And I want to make sure I don't want to miss that because I'd love to hear your recordings.
Yeah, so her last feature was Tigress. Her next feature is Venom. And her last feature for the month is me. And I'm just honored and privileged. And I feel like she didn't have to pick me because we related. And she didn't. She picked me because she felt like I was worthy of a feature. So I'm humbled and honored.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. First of all. Do you know Gina Storm? Do you know who she is? Do you know how dynamic she is?
Yeah, but I'm not Gina Storm at home. I'm just her auntie.
Have you heard her poetry? Have you heard her freestyle? Have you seen her live?
Right. she got a little something.
That's what I'm talking
too.
About.
Right. When you said it was caller's choice, and we can pick the
people's
topic.
People's choice. Yep,
I love what Akil Ali said and the topic that you two were just speaking to, because people always ask me this in the family, are you still, you know, dinner with a spoon? Because I ran a daycare for 23 years with kids who mostly had physical disabilities, some had mental and emotional, but everyone had a disability, all of the children. There were none of them that didn't need a little extra help. So all the extra help that they got was from me, but there were steps when it came to discipline.
Okay.
And the spoon was the last result. But the end game of our daycare was, like Akil said, he worked for DCFS. I had a relationship with them because I was also a foster parent. They wouldn't allow me to have children in my home if they thought I was beating them, and I'm not. But if I done told you and I come out and you've been in the corner and we've done everything that we can, we're going to go old school. And my thing is this. I was in a relationship prior to King's Cadence. As a matter of fact, the last fiance I had before he and I, even met, dated, or were engaged, lived in another state. So I would fly to Florida all the time, his home city, because he was co-parenting with his ex-wife, who later moved to Atlanta. And at the time, they didn't believe in spanking. They thought it was archaic.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel like a Flintstone. I didn't feel like I was a Neanderthal or a cavewoman or trying to bring back something old that should be demolished, because beating I don't adhere to. Spanking is sometimes necessary, and especially depending on what place. You know, if I separate two kids because they're fighting and a boy is pummeling a girl, I need him to know not to hit her again. Because if he hits her, I'm going to hit him. And if that can't be, then stay at home. Leave your job. And be there at home with Timmy. Because if you brought him to me, then I'm going to do what I have to do. And I'm going to go through my what I believe chain of command for discipline is. And if you don't rock with that, then we can't be together. So my thought is this. If a person's children are the problem, but not that person, should you stay in that relationship or keep it moving?
Right.
Because
absolutely,
a person, they're going to love their parents, they're going to love their children. That's a given. But when you're
right,
falling in love with someone new and you know that they are either caring for their parent or their child, because I take care of my mom and her sister. I also have an adult child who will be 30 on Tuesday and 3 grandkids. My plate is full. So if you're a man who feels like everything that I do isn't in conjunction with who you are as a person, then I'm obviously not for you. And I don't care what the attraction is. So is it beneficial to you to walk away from a situation that doesn't overall suit you, or should you pick the parts that you like and then keep on moving forward? Because I can't do that.
You know, I actually ended dating and pursuits of individuals because they had disrespectful children.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
wow. And the irony is that I had two stepdaughters who were both disrespectful once they became teenagers, because I was raising them prior to their teens. But once they became teenagers, they just got really disrespectful. And I hated being in the position of your daughter or me. I hated being in that position.
Yeah.
It hurt me as a parent, because I never want to have someone choose an individual over their child. And it happened, you know, it's happened.
And you don't even want your children to put you in a position where you may lose your thing because they've been disrespectful to the person you're pursuing.
Right.
So we as parents have to have checks and balance. Our kids need to know that we have a life. And right now it's my grandchildren. So we as individuals all have to be cognizant of the energy that we bring around our families, our children, and our grands. Nobody's perfect.
Absolutely.
But sometimes you can find a perfect person in a flawed person. But you have to know which flaws you're willing to deal with. I'm gonna tell you, like this brother, his daughter stood on the table. We would attend church together, and we stood on a table and was raising the blind so she could see where the storm coverage ended, because it was menacing dark clouds where we were, but it was bright and sunny in the area in which her dad lived. And I thought it was disrespectful for her to be standing on this table in a restaurant, and embarrassing for me as a parent. And I'm going to just keep it 100 because I'm black. Like, I wasn't raised like that, I swear. I will take you in a bathroom and get your mind right. But that's not how she was.
Right.
So I literally had to make a decision. Can I deal with this? You know, because based on her age that she was versus the age she would be when he was no longer responsible for her day-to-day life, it was too many birthdays in between for me. You know what I'm talking? Like, oh, no.
And, you know, just like we was just talking about, we're living in a society now where a child can say you're abusing them, and without any investigation or without any questions, you're in handcuffs.
They won't even ask you a question.
They will sort it out. It gets sorted out later.
Oh, yeah. right? Cuffed.
And I'm sitting here like, first of all, if you got disrespectful children, if I even see an inkling or feel like there may be an issue between me and your children, I will cut that relationship off ASAP. My freedom is more important to me, especially when I've got children of my own to raise.
Man, I had to tell this ain't even my struggle.
Right.
I got grandkids. You know what I'm talking about? Like, this child right here gonna end up being a menace to society because she had no discipline and there were no boundaries. And she would, like, here's an example. I'll be 52 in December. If my mother from another room calls me, I don't say, huh, or what. You know what I say? Yes or yes, ma'am.
Right.
Her
right.
father said, do you know what you wearing to church today? Because he was ironing for himself and for me. He was ironing my skirt and his shirt. And she said, a dress, duh. Did you say duh like your daddy is slow? You know, let me go outside and get some hair. See, I'm not built for this, Jesus.
I felt a Madea moment coming on. What you say, child? What you say? Oh my God! No, ma'am.
No, that the Bible says peace be still, but I was gonna show her my peace is still.
I know that's right.
He had me confused now, and would probably be just a buckle on my belt. But boo boo, you got the wrong one. And the funny thing about it is her parents would always say, she was so respectful towards Gina. You know why? She was afraid of me. You know why she was afraid of me? Because she was supposed to be. We're not friends.
Right. Right.
We're not friends.
God.
If you like me and I like you, but I love your father and he loves you, I'm not going to make him pick. I'm going to remove myself from this. When he's miserable.
And you know what? And
you know your
daddy
wanted
people. I don't understand why people don't understand that concept.
I don't understand
why people don't understand. Like, I'm not going to put myself in a position to be between you and your child. That's not fair. That's not fair to your child. That's not fair to you. No way. I'm going to remove myself.
And it was crazy because every time I spoke with her, she answered me appropriately. And every time her parents did, she gave them tooled. And I was thinking, because she ain't scared of y'all. Ain't nothing getting ready to happen. One day he took her electronics. The next day she came home from school, went in the cabinet where they were, took out her laptop, her headphones, and her phone. And I said, did your dad give you permission? And she shrugged. And I said, what does that mean? You know what, never mind. So I texted him, did you tell your daughter she could have this, that, and the third? And he was like, no, she's supposed to wait till I get home and I'll decide. I said, well, she on them right now. Text her and see what happened. He texted her. She didn't respond. You know why? She was pretending she didn't have her phone. Then she put them back. But here's the thing. While they were missing, I took a picture with the timestamp.
Right.
So he could see when it was not there and then when she put it back. So my thing, I'm not throwing her under the bus, but I need you to understand the math on this. She's playing you.
Yep.
He can't use me in this game because I'm grown. I don't play with kids. Oh, yeah. So it wasn't like I didn't love him still or I didn't want his engagement ring, nor did I want to spend the rest of my life with him. What I did not want to do, however, is be monkey in the middle to a situation where she was playing her parents against each other in regards to me, being respectful to me and disrespectful to them. And it was too much negative energy for me to even be involved in. I was like, this ain't for me, not my monkey or my circus. Not calling the baby a monkey,
right.
I'm talking about.
What?
Like, this ain't my struggle. What? Right. I always tell people this. Oh, you got to pick a struggle. You can't be depressed and suicidal, or you can't be, you know what I'm talking about? Pick a struggle.
Right.
Don't
exactly.
Don't run the gamut.
Don't be every one of them. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I felt like, you know, if he had to pick a struggle, then struggle with her, because y'all decided not to spank her. And I'm not saying beat her.
Exactly.
But I'm saying stop her in tracks when she says or does something disrespectful. Don't let her talk to you any kind of way because you ain't one of her little friends. Don't let her do ignorant things in public, in restaurants, or any place else that is going to embarrass you or me. If you see that I am shocked and mortified and you think that it's funny, then follow my lead. And if we can be partners in this, then I'm not the person for you. Love you,
I'm
mean it. I'm flying back to Chicago.
Yep.
That was it.
That is 100% facts. All facts.
We'll talk.
Now,
so
now that we've
I
got,
love tonight.
Now
this
we've
is
gotten
awesome.
That part. Oh, yeah,
yes.
I love yours too. Now we need to hear your piece for the evening. So, what you got for us?
I'm going to title my freestyle, I Will Not Compromise.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. I will not compromise. See, there was a time in my life when I would just get along with whatever. If I didn't like what was being served, I would sit down at the table, put my napkin in my lap, not put my elbows on the tabletop. I would use the appropriate spoon, fork, knife, glass during every course of the meal and simply just get along because I felt like that was my due diligence. I'm gonna keep it real. I've only been two things in my life, a fiancé and a wife. So every time I meet a new man and we're dating, I'm not dating for pleasure or sport. I'm dating with intention. And did I mention that all my exes are fiancés and husbands? One more again. There was no casual relationships in my past. So right now, when I'm even being courted by someone, I have to ask myself, could this last? I need to know what the situation is between him and his children. Not to say that I'm ready to date anyone immediately, but when I am one day, I could be. I'll be 52 in December, and maybe by 55, I'll find the man who's going to be the end of my love story, you know, the love of my life, my forever, my happily ever after. But in the meantime, I'm not taking any shorts. I'm not going to be bothered with no dudes that want to Netflix and chill because all of my streaming devices, I think the only one that I pay for is Prime. I also added Showtime. I did that because King's Cadence and I used to watch The Chi. I live in a suburb outside of that city, so it meant a lot to me. And even though he's gone, that's a part of him that will live on. I will watch the next season because I have Showtime currently. And I'm not saying this because I want anybody who wants to date me in the future to feel like I'm hoarding, like holding on to some emotions from something previously. But I'll be honest with you, I've been loved explicitly. I've been married and divorced twice. Each of those were men that I felt like was worth me jumping the broom with. I call them first and second biblical because the electrician's name is Solomon and the musician's name is Moses. The reality is this, the best love that I ever got, and I would be remiss if I didn't say this out loud, King's Cadence was not just my partner in poetry and rhyme. It was also the Clyde to my Bonnie, and we got along at a place that was amazing. He would do things for me, and we would watch movies and videos all the time and feel like we had so many things that connected us. You'd be surprised. It was almost like he was my long-lost brother, but he wanted to be my future husband. Reality was this, he had never been loved, truly loved, until he met me. I was looking forward to our future together, but he passed away. So I'm not going to be using a measuring stick that measures all other men up against him, because that would be wrong. But the reality is this, I've been loved by a man who was a Christian, been loved by a man who was a Christian and a musician, been loved by a man who was a blue-collar worker, and every day he wanted to make more money than he did the day previously. And then I was loved by a man who wasn't in a position to take me out and date me physically, who gave me gifts, some of which he didn't have to spend any money. It was the love that he provided that made me know what I deserve. So I had to actually give myself a price tag that would let me know what my love was actually worth. I was out here playing crackhead games with my life, dumbing it down and allowing you to get 40 for 20 like I was selling food stamps. Huh. I wish I was in that market. If it was a possibility, I would not be mad, nor would it make me upset to be in a grocery store to shop tax-free. Baby, that's not a possibility for me. So with that man, who didn't have much to bring to the table except for his gift, his brain, and his creativity, that set the bar for anyone who will come after me, after him who's pursuing me. I'm not going to lower the bar because you don't know how to raise it up that far. I'm talking about I was at the Inspiration Factory when that man said he got baptized because of me. He had them come into his hospital room one time before he passed away so he could be right with the Lord and get his house together. And I appreciated that, even if he still wasn't with me romantically the way we had been previously tested. I was tired and exhausted from a lot of things, and I acted out. I'm not going to say it was irresponsibly, but I hesitate now even just to say the thing. had we not broken up, I feel like he'd still be alive. But the fact that he's gone let me know that I can still thrive. There's real love out there, and don't settle ever so you can get what you have. That's your due. I will never lower the bar again. So, King's Cadence, a.k.a. Randy Sinclair Rogers, I salute you. For all the other men who loved me or proposed to me previously, those were all examples of the love that I felt like at the time was due to me. But I'm at a different level right now. And if you can't dig me because you need a shovel, then that's okay. I'm not for you, and that's all right. And I'm not even mad. The reality is this. I'm patient, like Job, and I can wait until God sends me the man that will be my last love. I'm not worried about what the future holds. I just know that I've been loved right. So right now, I know that me settling is not even an option, and I hope it's not for you either. I'm Gina Storm. That's my piece. Thank you for indulging me.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Rest in peace, my brother King's Cadence. Phenomenal, phenomenal. Gina Storm, as always. And I like the fact that you don't settle. And
oh, I can. I've been loved right. So I know now what it feels like, it looks like, and how it translates. I know the math on it. Can't short me.
That's what I'm talking about.
I took myself
phenomenal
off
clearance. Phenomenal freestyle. Phenomenal freestyle, as always.
I love
We're
this show. I'm so glad that you're back.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
I'm going to go to the lounge because I know all my peeps are there. We're going to get down and boogie and do what we do. But, yeah,
right. This
is a wonderful topic. I can't wait to hear the rest.
Thank you so much. And you enjoy the show. Get you a glass of bubbly and stick around.
I will. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Gina Storm with that amazing freestyle. We're going to go from Gina Storm to Mr. Automatic Charismatic. What's good, bro?
You know how that freestyle is? I got to go beyond the freestyles, and then I got to go beyond that smooth brother. You know what I mean? I always call him smooth.
Hey, man, listen, tonight, man, is people's choice, man. So you get to ask the question of your own around relationships, man, and we're going to talk about it. So what question you got tonight?
My thing is I like the previous questions. I like the Akil, Ali, about the parenting. I liked about Gina Storm, what she talked about. Well, I do have a woman, and she's my best friend. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like,
all right.
Like my down on earth. And we both have been bullied. We both have been. That's why I'm very careful how I come at her. Like, I mean, I don't say I'm perfect. You know, we are God came out hard as he can, but we never, you know, used the physical part because we've both been bullied before. You know what I mean? So,
sure.
Does the bullying part, does that play a role? If you've been bullied from a child, how does it play a role in you becoming, having a relationship with someone for being bullied?
Okay. So, man, that's a good one, Mr. Automatic Charismatic. That's a really, really deep one. I would say that being bullied and going into a relationship, it could have two effects. The first effect would be as an adult, you are determining that you are no longer going to allow anyone to bully you. So even when you get into a relationship, if it even appears right. that way, then you rise up and you become the bully in the relationship, right? That's the one way. The second way, I believe, is that it's the opposite, where as they sink back into the shell of the bullying, and don't have a voice in the relationship. So I think it's important that anyone who at any stage who's ever been bullied to identify it, seek help if necessary, so that you don't take it out on your partner. And then the two of you should be able to talk about those things so that y'all can basically form a foundation for each other where you can be that sounding board where y'all can talk about these things. Well, babe, it really bothers me when you raise your voice at me. Well, babe, it really bothers me when you look at me a certain way because I'm triggered. And I don't want to take anything out on you, but it triggers a negative emotion. You know, so communication is key.
Yeah.
And you just got to be open and honest about your feelings and about what's going on. And then we, as the other person, have to be receptive and try to be sympathetic and empathetic to what they're going through.
Yes. You know, we work through that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give up on a relationship because you had an argument. You know what I mean? I feel like how you handle, how you conduct yourself afterwards. Did you learn anything from the disagreement? How can we make things better? I remember what Kings Canaan said about him and Gina Storm. We're not going to bed angry. You know, Kings Cadence is one of the brothers that, you know, was a real good person to talk to. One of the best people. I mean, I learned so much from that brother. Like, he was he was like my main, man. Like, he was like, you know, that was like, that really hurt. I know when King's Cage was going, that really hurt me. You know, I took it hard. You know what I mean? Because it was like, you know, we would talk and laugh and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So, you know, and he told me about the bullying and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And so I've been bullied. I've been... You know, when I was young, you know, when they say being called everything but a child of God, I was called retarded. I was called, you know, people, young kids would make noises to say that you tried to mock me by making noises. You know, say, oh, you talk like that, like that. You know what I mean? As a kid, it hurt. As an adult, I could take that.
Yeah.
Because I'm more strong-minded. But as a child, you know, children are more emotional than adults majority of the time, you know. But I think I find myself, like, sometimes I get flashbacks from being bullied, you know what I mean? And I try to fight it, you know what I mean? But it makes no one performing against me should prosper, you know? So it's like, you know, like, if you can't even forgive, like in the church, they'll forgive somebody for bullying you, you know what I mean? Like, and
absolutely,
you don't want to take that weight to no relationship. You know what I mean? So, me and her, I got bullied. We've been bullied. So, we talk to each other. I listen to her. I listen to what she has to say. I value everything that she has to say. We're friends first before we lovers. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, she knows she can come to me. If she's having a bad day, a problem, and she needs, and nobody wants to listen, I'll be at open ear. You know what I mean? I say,
absolutely,
hey,
absolutely,
okay, what's going on? You can talk to me. Yeah, I never want her to feel like she can't talk to me.
That's right.
You know,
you're doing
I mean?
The right thing, bro. You're doing the right thing, man.
Yeah, and I say this, sometimes you can make a person feel uncomfortable because instead of problem at last that you don't want to hear, but maybe you should hear. That way you can, it may sound invasive, but you can work it out.
When you know, you can prepare for what you know. Even when it sounds kind of crazy, the medicine is knowing how to prepare for what's happening right now.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So, yeah. So, yeah.
So let me thank you, good brother, for bringing that, you know,
I really want to help. And J-Rob, I would say, he does an awesome job helping. That's why I love the fact that he helps the youngsters out there, because kids need guidance, you know, so they can grow up and be something positive in their community. I want to help the bully. I want to help bully kids.
Well,
God has put it on my heart to help bully kids, because I've been bullied, and I've been bullied to the point where it was real bad, and I want to help bully. I don't want to see kids take their life because they've been bullied. I want to see kids live and know that they are special. You are a special somebody. Don't let a bully make you feel like you're less than a person.
Absolutely. Well, that's good, brother, that you want to do that, man. And there's a platform out there for you to be able to do that. Not, you know, and I hope and
yes.
I pray that you're able to enter into that, man, to help them. You know, you just got to be prepared that a lot of the bullies
yeah.
are actually bullied at home. They have a home life that is horrible, you know, and that's the only way that they know how to
yeah.
deal with it is pick it up with someone else. So, but my brother, now that we've gotten that out of the way, my brother, what freestyle would you like to do for us tonight?
I don't want to feel like Malcolm X right now. I feel
brother?
Like Malcolm X spirit on me. So I just felt that. I felt that win of Malcolm X. I'm going to call this Plantation Education.
All right, bro. The mic is yours.
I have a question of what we are learning today. What are the words that we have on display? What is the slave minded at what's at the grasp of what is the hard task? Are we making the lies the confirmation? Are we poisoning the next generation? Now let's check out the situation. When our youth don't know their own heroes, but America has proposed a heroic form. We're checking out a storm that make a breakthrough to change the minds of, yes, no more of a plantation education. Live life in the wisdom is like the reality of a rhythm that moves within the ocean. That's what is chosen, but the words that I speak of, Malcolm X and Marcus Garvey, their words spread everywhere, right in the hemisphere, that Dr. King could get a little bit of love, too, that Rosa Parks, yeah, she was about to sit in the back of the bus, but she said, no, that I'm putting myself first, that you could get to Benjamin Banneker creating the clock, because we got to know what time it is. Yes, Frederick Douglass saying that the 4th of July is their 4th of July, not my 4th of July. The words of many, the words of plenty, all my black family, I live by the days like Malcolm X, the master architect, and what are these days that we reflect, and what are the days that we reject and we respect? Now you digging in your own intellect. Everything that sometimes perfect or sometimes short like a circuit of the bravery still in the 365 days a year,
there has not been no type of reparations. So how are we having a celebration of heroes that's not mine? When will we go in the day that we will shine when the sun is shining on us? Emmett Till, voice. But open casket was a choice. Beaten down for a whistle. America, hear my voice, so I'll make it official. I could be like Ray Charles. Georgia, a southern state that hated black people. Another sick world with many days that were evil. But do you use the wisdom as a utensil? Are you going to make knowledge that plantation can't be official? Are you going to rise beyond the dark and beyond the stage? And we may come to this place that we be outraged. Never be afraid for the words to be displayed. The black people are freedom and free. It's costly. It's cost because it can't be forced. Once like bosses, you have to be taught. See, if you had to learn and unlearn that anything that's not knowledgeable, they got taught. Living the words and the life of the rich and everything they got most in the ditch. And I think that ditch up. Then you'll find that truth. That they didn't want to tell you at all. So what's the value? What's the real statue? What's the real beautiful? What's the real critical thinking of what I'm bringing and what I'm changing? Kind of like the plantation was bringing the pain. Saying like, yeah, boss. Yes, ma'am. Like a slavery, like what's the statement of the enslavement? My people say no. No, not anymore. But before you open that door and not be so wise and be despised. Stop this for our people being deprived for the next question. That this be an end. Or shall I say, can this be the end of this plantation education? Miss Allman, charismatic, the local lynch, take his in the morning, five and dry.
Yes, sir, my brother. Yes, sir. What an educational journey you took us on in that piece. And prolific and dynamic. And we needed to hear that, man. So I thank you for bringing that for us tonight, my brother.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking
my
about.
Go-go brother.
My go-go brother.
Man, much love.
Much love you, too, bro. But listen, man, we're going to send you on over to the VIP lounge.
Oh. I'd like to tell you what I'm going to do. You know, I'm an inventor. Formula 9132. It's a book of formulas that help people study that increases their mind. I create my own formulas, my own codes, my own graphs, my own arithmetic.
Okay.
And you break words, you break everything. You can break words into, like if you had a week, if I ask you how many ways can you break the word a week? A lot of people probably say one time. But I can show you that you can break the word a week 138 times. And then when it's time to, see, when you can break words down, and they become little pieces and pieces and pieces and pieces and pieces. You're shredding the words, right? When you do the test, you done broke that word down so many times that you are prepared for that test. And they ask, why did you finish so fast? It's not the point that you looked at the definition. The definition is not going to define how smart you are. How well you break everything down will define how well you can prepare for that test. And that's,
all right, Google,
that's
brother.
My formula.
That's what I'm talking about, brother. So go ahead and put that on the event page, man. All right? So that more people can be aware. Sounds good.
Yes, indeed.
All right, go, brother. Stick around, man. Enjoy the rest of the show. We'll chat soon, man.
Yeah,
brother.
You my guy, man. You my guy. Always, man.
Absolutely, brother. Ladies and gentlemen, on his way to the VIP lounge, Mr. Automatic Charismatic. We gonna keep the party going. Next up, he is the host of, man, this brother got so many shows, man. My God. Fly Speak, Honey Dripper 2.0, War Council, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and all that. You know what? Ladies and gentlemen, Mojave. Epiphany's own Mojave. What's good with you, broski?
What's happening, Brody?
Good, man.
Sorry.
Good. Hey,
Before
we get into what's upsetting you, ladies and gentlemen, you have approximately 2 minutes before you will lose the live stream. You will need to dial in 319-527-6300 and press 1 to get on the mic. Otherwise, you will not be able to enjoy the remainder of the show. Mojave, what is bothering you, me brother?
What do you mean what's bothering me? This chest cold is bothering me. The fact that
you just said you was angry.
Yeah, I'm angry. I'm super angry. Nah, man, my whole plans got messed up this weekend, bro. That's what happened. I was supposed to see parent units. I was supposed to go to a tailgate for homecoming. I was supposed to be doing a whole bunch of stuff, man. I'm going to run around, chill at my pop's crib, run around with the kids, the older kids. We were supposed to go out to eat. We were supposed to go to a hibachi. All out the window.
I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry you're dealing with that, man. I pray for a speedy recovery, man. I pray that the Lord will touch you and heal you and get rid of that chest thing that you got going on, man. How long have you had this thing now?
This is my second week. And the worst thing about is now, like, it's moving out of my chest. It's moving back up into my throat, which is the craziest thing ever. So I was like, oh, so
right,
this is what we
do. When was your last COVID test?
No, I had a COVID test last week, bro. I'm good.
Last week? Okay. All right, you might want to revisit it. Because... people have gotten tests and they said that they were good, and some of those people are not here with us any longer.
Nah, bro, we don't do the rapid testing, bro. We do the PCR swabs. We it like that.
Right. Okay.
And then literally what's been going around is there's a viral upper respiratory infection that is going around. And so the worst thing about it is that what I did is I had a lapse in judgment on Thursday, and I took myself off my regimen because I felt good, and I could just cough the rest of it out, and that was pretty stupid. So it came roaring back, and so I'm fighting the whole thing because of it. So, yeah, right. Silly, bad, terrible.
All right, man. All right, man. Do what you got to do. You got kids that need you, bro, so do what you got to do, man. Okay?
Oh, yeah, bro. That's what it is.
All right, man. All right, we need you too, bro. Not just your kids, man. We need you too, okay? Just let you know. In case you're ever wondering.
Need me, man.
In case you're ever wondering.
Man.
We need you too.
Yeah, I don't need
but
me, man.
Tonight is People's Choice, Mojave. You get to present a relationship question of your choosing for you and I to dialogue about it. So, here we go. The shenanigans. I knew it had to be one out the bunch. So here we go.
No.
Go ahead,
I'm not gonna be unfair. I said a relationship question. All right. So should we talk about? Ooh, wait a second. Oh, I got this one. I got it.
Uh oh, yeah.
I got it.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on. No, hold on. I'm gonna pull it up. Ooh. Glad you told me, man. Hold on. Wait a second. Where is it at?
Bear in mind, Van Meadows is not in the hot seat. It is a relationship question that we dialogue about. Okay? Everyone has done a great job up to this point, so we'll see what happens next.
Ooh, this is... All right, I got, like, for real. Okay. Hmm.
Okay. All right.
If a woman is dominant,
mm-hmm.
right, will she or does she become submissive if you are doing the right things and are properly exhibiting manhood?
I would say no. And I say no because a dominant trait, right? A woman who is dominant probably has been that way all her life, whether she is attached to someone or not. And just because she meets a man who is showing her that he is the man and he's doing all the right things by her and is presenting herself in a form of fashion where she could release some of her dominance. She may be able to release a little bit of it, but she will still be dominant. You know, because now you're talking about being submissive. You know, surely, you know, I don't think that there's a woman alive who would not be submissive to a man who is doing everything that he's supposed to do. However, that dominance trait is still within her. And I just don't think it's, because I had a woman who was a Taurus, and me being an Aries, we're both dominant signs, and we butt heads a lot. No matter what I was doing right as a man, she still felt the need to be dominant and forget submission. You know, so that's my perception on it, my take on it. What say you, sir?
I say, sir, what I say is I think that if you lead and you share and you have great emotional intelligence, I don't think it's the question is about being submissive. I just think that you will be deferred to more and you will be asked more and things will be held differently as opposed to, you know, anything else. Sure, the dominant trait might exist, but, you know, there's got to be a reason for that dominant trait to exist because of how that person might have grown up. It could be culture. It could be the way that they were nurtured. It could be all of these different things that all form the basis for how they may proceed. They might have had a bad relationship with their father or anything else like that. They might have grown in an environment that did not permit them to be soft. And sometimes, you know, things happen and, you know, there's an attitude that can be pervasive because they weren't treated right. And I think if a person is loved upon and treated right, they may become soft and willing and not pliable, but more able to exchange and listen and go through. I think when we say submissive, I think that people get submissive to the point of, I think, BDSM or something like that. But I think submissive means to the point that they're willing to listen and hear what their mate has to say and maybe, you know, and probably act on what they ask them to do as long as it's reasonable. So I think it can be. I think it can be to the point as long as there's a good term. You know, I think you can't really have someone being submissive to you if you're not a leader or you're not doing the things that you need to do in order for them to feel safe. I think submissiveness comes with emotional security, you know. But the other question I was going to ask, which leads to this, is like, because
Who said you get more than one question, bro? Who said that?
Okay. I say that. Hey, listen, calm down. Listen. Calm down.
Y'all see the way Mahari tried to get me the okie doke? He tried to. No, go ahead.
Listen. I ain't going to ask the other question.
I'm just messing with you, bro.
I'm going to throw off this thing. All right. But I'm just saying, like, okay, no, but the whole thing is you know, what we talked about in War Council. Does somebody marry for love or do they marry for financial security?
So
this leads to the thing for the love and financial security. So some people might be submissive if they know that they're financially secure as opposed for love or anything else like that. So it's a typical thing. I know in my experience, my ex was definitely not submissive to me in any form or fashion, because just the way that they were and that they felt no matter what the situation was, and then everything about trying to maintain or keep this presence that she, you know, she's like, I have to manipulate you through the kids or manipulate you through this or try to figure out ways to get more money from you so that you, you know, like literally, like it would be like crazy, like if I had to go on a trip, her idea is like, well, if you're going to go on a trip, you should leave me money before you go. I'm like, I need the money for the trip. That's why I need the money. But you're just going to leave me with no money and the kids. She's doing.
Oh, wow.
So like,
wow.
No, seriously. Like, really, really. It was a manipulation. And so I think that people who emotionally manipulate can never be submissive. So I will say that for that. People who emotionally manipulate, energy manipulators, all that stuff, can't be submissive. But there are other people who, you know, are different. I remember when I was seeing one of the love of my lives, like I had to go someplace, and they just set everything up so I can go. Like they set everything up and then made sure I had extra stuff so I can go. So whenever a person is really going the extra mile, it really sits with me. But, you know, like gifts and stuff like that, that's like a joyful thing for me. But I mean, like, really, like going out of your way and doing that little bit extra, you know, that makes me want to serve you more. Because I think submission comes with service, you know?
Absolutely. Okay, bro. I hear you, bro. I hear you dropping the gems and the jewels of knowledge, bro. I hear you. But now, we need to hear the piece that you brought for us for the evening.
I don't even know what I'm going to do.
Hey, it's open mic, bro. Do what you want.
Oh, man.
But
that's
I will
crazy.
Say this. I will say this. The mic is yours.
Oh, that's terrible. He's going, I will say this. Fine. I'm a fool around just because you did that. I'm a fool around. And yes, we're playing with all the music. We're playing with all the music.
My man.
All right. Have you ever seen a smile? She makes me open up the darkest parts of me. Willing to accept the sunshine with energy so kind, she shifted my energy. Because she connects to me quickly, plays with my energy, absorbs me, returns me to me, and that's a hard thing to do. You called out the places in me, breathed fire to spirit, lit me aflame, and you were on me and around me, moved in a way all too familiar, even mimicking me by laying down, touching me through energy. Your smile makes my eyes dance. This romance of hips gyrate and pound, the sound of wet skit getting down. I stand before you naked and unashamed, letting the flame of this moment become full of passion. Hair locked, beard knotty, Buddha belly, stretch marks or catch parts of scars and accidents from cars, but this body is willing, and I am willing and wanting. Your smell haunts me. The taste of your lips when after is sweeter than dulce. Don't make me push you up against the wall and take kisses from your face. Let me grace you gently. Feel my eyelashes against your cheeks like angel wings. Let me steal seduction from your neck. Squeeze your middle while you fiddle lips on shoulder blades. Let me wade into your aura. The perfume essence of flora, the scent of our fauna, the back of your neck needs just as much as attention as the sense of parts of you. The heat in this air is sticky, but my hands feel like glue. They cannot leave and weave in between the sweat, skin, and fabric. The tragic circumstances that some man didn't understand your magic fucks you like a set list, and it is over quickly before you can even make a wish. Your true beauty is on the inside that manifests on the outside. The filament of amazing, the spirit electric, radiating and emanating in intelligence that makes me salivate to taste your intelligence while physical goes to pace. But we're about that weight. It's the DM and the text. It's the mind sex. It's the way that I can hear you smile on the line, the way that sunshine exhibits your fine, the way you spit those poems line by line have me wanting to learn you, to love you. To matrimony, you're wrong. You feel like peace, serene, the sound of darkness pitch back when sleep. Your skin warm, grows wet with perspiration. You're the perspective of my sensual imagination. Poem.
Man, do y'all hear this? This is why this brother right here, man, Mojave, this piece was amazing, bro. Hey, man, you was talking about your stretch marks, bro. I dig it, bro. I dig it. Bro, you said a lot in here, man. You had to really pay attention, man. You said a lot in this piece, but it was fire, just like normal, bro. And then the musical accompaniment behind it, man, definitely set the tone. This is an amazing piece, bro.
Thank you.
Bro.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. Hey, man, before I let you go over to the VIP lounge, man, there's some champagne over there, maybe to help with your chest stuff you got going on. But can you let everybody? There you go.
Whiskey. Okay.
Let everybody know what you got popping off on Tuesday.
Tuesday, Fly Speak, Open Mic, Her Story True, Minimisms. It's going to be dope. Open Mic, come through, rock out with us. We here for the fun. We here for the fun and the son of a gun. It's going to work out. It's going to be great.
That's what I'm talking about. Y'all come too. I can't wait. Ooh, I can't wait. Yes, sir. Looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to it. Dope, dope, Inc., man. Get on over there to that VIP lounge, man. Grab you some bubble. Stick around and enjoy the rest of the show.
Word. Word.
One, Mike, my bro, and thank you for the question.
Oh, one
as
love,
well.
One Mike. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, on his way to get some bubble to help with that chest pain, man, that chest cold, that chest stuff he got going on. Mojave, check him out this coming Tuesday. Next up, man, we got my good brother, Just Jay, in the building. What's good with you, bro?
What's going on with you, poets, poetic?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. I've been listening to the topic. I was like, man, poets is going aggressive on this one because anything could come your way. And there you is. You know, open up that Pandora's box and let's go ahead and deal with this bugger.
That's it, man. That's what we're doing, man. It's people's choice tonight, man. You know, so whatever relationship question you decide you want to ask, man, it's people's choice. I've never done this type of show before where I've just opened it up and just let the floodgates rain. So I thought it was appropriate that instead of me always guiding and dictating, how about I just be an active listener and participate with whatever questions everyone has, because everyone has a voice, right? So, and right
that's
now,
that's crazy,
bro,
concept. It's like on every call, you the caller.
Exactly, bro. That is exactly right, man. And I have loved it right out the gate, man. It's just been nonstop. There have been some phenomenal questions that have been asked and some great, great discussions. So People's Choice, you up, bro. It's your time. What relationship question you've got for you and me to discuss?
Date rape. I'm just messing with
question?
You.
I was going to say, brother, listen. This is 2021 and it still happens. So if we're going there, what's your question? Go and get it out there.
It happens on both ends, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Sure. Yes, sir.
It's been plenty of times I've been shaking. But anyways, man.
What you got, bro?
She left me $40. All right.
Dang, y'all hear that? She left with 40. Y'all know what that $40 do. Whoop. Go ahead, bro. Do your thing, bro. Nah, seriousness. Go ahead,
man.
Bro.
You know what? I had it, man. I drew a blank sitting up here playing around, dude. I drew a blank. I tell you what. Man, my mind is just screwing with me. All right, I got it. Oh, yeah, I remember it now.
Okay.
The one thing about waiting, I had learned not to wait back in the day. And the way I learned was girls told me not to wait. It would be like, you know, it would get to that point, and all of a sudden, you know, I try to do the whole thing to seal the deal of, you know, right now it's not the right time or what may have you, and then the child never came around again.
Okay.
So the whole waiting thing, I had got to a point, I was like, well, if it don't happen now, it ain't going to happen, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Right. What's the question?
My question is about the goat, the green light.
What about
the green light as far as...
What we talking about?
You got me narrowing this down.
Listen,
you got your willing night out tonight, don't you?
Listen, you going all around, bro. The people is waiting for you to give the question about
me. There you go. Nah, Meg, just tell the people the question you want to be asked.
That's not it. I'm not asking a question. You are. You just giving a topic.
Oh,
you
right.
Want me to? I'm not asking the question.
You
asking
know
the
what?
Question.
It's so broad, man. I really ain't got no spectrum down on it like that, man. I was just gonna go ahead and leave it at the bottleneck, but you wanna dissect it with the electron microscope? Let's hit it.
We got to, bro. We can't just leave it open because if we leave it open like that without a clear question, bro, we could be sitting here till tomorrow talking about this thing. You know what I'm saying?
Don't
want to
ruin nobody's day, man.
It's so broad, right? So we got to narrow it down to what does Jay want to know, right? So then we can crack it open.
All right, get this skull busted right quick. All right. You know, I mean, I've been out of the game for a minute, man. I don't know what things go like, but I can see just on the periphery, things run different.
Sure.
Much different. They actually was, I feel like I was a pioneer in the way that things is running now because I was trying to bring everybody onto that page right there. But what is the protocol now, man, as far as forbidden down?
Bruh.
Some nuances in there too, man.
First of all.
Anecdotal will help as
well. Ain't no protocol, man. Ain't no protocol. You know what? Let me take that back. Let me take that back.
All right.
You ready? I'm a simplify this in the most simplest way that I can.
Yeah.
The woman defines the protocol. The woman defines the
man
protocol.
Gotta have an influence in there somewhere though, don't he?
Man ain't got no influence. Cause if a woman decides she like you,
what do you say?
Listen, a woman can decide she like you based off of how you carry yourself without you even opening your mouth, and she will make the decision whether or not she wants to be with you or not. Once you open your mouth, if she's looked at you and decided that she wants to be with you, and you open your mouth and she don't like what's coming out, guess what? You ain't got no chance.
Well, it's still the same thing. It's just doing different things.
Nah, man, women make that determination all the time. You know, y'all know, you know, I love the
what
Big Bang
Theory. What was it back
theory,
in the day?
Right? Hold on. I love the Big Bang Theory, right? So here's the thing. Because women come up with all these rules about when they can get it, when you can physically be with them.
No matter what they're putting out there, what they're showing or whatever.
I got a 90-day rule. I got a 90-day rule. I got a two-week rule. I got a right-now rule. Women make that
decision.
Wow. And here's a perfect example, that displays that. On
the
episode of the Big Bang Theory, Penny, the beautiful neighbor across the hall, Leonard, the guy that she's been seeing, right? They were just friends, whatever, what have you. One night she comes over, takes him by the collar, by his hand, says, "You're going in your room. We're going in your room, and we're going to make mad crazy love." And he said, "Okay."
Right.
They went and did it. A few days later, same show.
It is
a few days later, same
then,
show.
Man.
He tried to do the exact same thing. Went over, knocked on her door, grabbed her by the hand, took her into her apartment, and said, "We're going to go have sex, and there's nothing you can say about it." She laughed in his face and shut the door.
Yeah. Oh wow, that was very lightning, man.
So we as men, it's in us to seek out women and go after them. Right?
Right.
But it's up to the woman to make the decision and the determination if she wants to be with you in that way. Because if you force yourself upon her, you in handcuffs, bro.
Oh, yeah, that's definite. But I'm just talking about the art of game, the art of breaking down walls and all that type of stuff.
Listen, the art of it, see y'all hear this, right? He didn't switch up the question. But the art of it still exists. The art of it still exists. It just exists on different levels now because social media now plays a huge part in what type of game a man has today. Because you got women
you
out here
what,
who...
Man, I had no understanding that it had changed so much, bro.
Bro, what? Oh, my God. Listen, bro. I had no idea I would be back in the dating world. You understand? And every time I see or I hear a lot of different horror stories about dating, bro, I'd be like, dang. Somebody take me back out of this thing. Take me back out.
Put me on the bench, coach.
Yeah, man. Put me on the bench. Because, bro, when I tell you it is crazy, the game has definitely changed tremendously. Tremendously.
But it does have some advantages, too, though, don't it?
It has some advantages. But again, it's still going to be up to the woman to make that determination. You can have
so
all
what
the game
of catalyst
in
get that
listen,
to happen.
You
then,
can be
bro.
listen. You can have listen. You can have Will Smith game, LL Cool
right.
J looks, you know, any billionaire's money, right?
Right. Dave Chappelle's charm.
Right. And if you meet a woman and you got all of that stuff going for you, you know she still would say no. And primarily she'll say no because, one, you ain't what she's looking for. There are some women out here who could care less about what your status is. And crazy,
right.
Which wallet look like, because they just want a down-to-earth person. That's why a lot of times you'll see a lot of female celebrities with guys that you have no idea who they are. No idea.
All right.
And what they looking for, they looking for, I believe women are looking for the same thing that we're looking for. Same thing we're looking for. Loyalty, honesty, respect, true love, commitment, dedication.
But by being on speed dating, that don't even sound plausible. And it sounds like it's a speed dating type of thing.
Man, speed dating is like this. Speed dating is like his speed dating. You ready? I'ma go to Five Guys and get my fries. I'ma go to McDonald's to get my burger. I'm gonna slide over to Wendy's to get my drink, and I'm gonna get my dessert from Dairy Queen.
All and you know what I understand that too.
Yeah, man, all of those places have the same options that you can get at those restaurants. They all got fries. They all got burgers.
Right.
Five Guys, they might not have dessert, but, you know, they got milkshakes, depending on where you live.
Right.
I say that to say is everyone's taste is different. And the only thing that hasn't changed from back in the day, Just Jay, is the fact that we still men. We still like to hunt.
Yeah.
We still like to chase. But the women's mindsets have changed. And it's unfortunate that our mindsets haven't changed with them.
Wow. You know what? You just hit the money right there. That's the money. And I ain't talking about real physical money. I'm just talking about, like, the whole justice,
right,
the push,
right,
of everything.
Right. Yeah, man, because we still, you know, a lot of us still sitting here trying to do the stuff that we did in the 80s with a 2000 woman. Hey, look at us.
Right.
Like, bruh, is you crazy?
We coming at her
with a Toyota Corolla mindset, and she waiting for the Bentley mindset. Now, I'm not talking about pockets and money wise. I'm talking about the luxury of your mind.
Right.
At some point, bro, we have got to grow.
Right. So the men have stopped growing.
Yeah, we have stopped growing to a degree. Not all of us, just some of us.
Understandable.
I see it in Philly. If I'm at 21, if I'm standing on the corner selling dope, and at 41, I'm still standing on the corner selling dope, I've missed the mark.
Right.
I've missed the mark.
Even if you are living good, you still don't miss the mark.
You still don't miss the mark. So, wow, bro. Man, that's what I'm talking about, man. Deep, deep discussion, bro. Just Jay, man. Great, great question. Great conversation.
I still got to interview you, man.
I'm waiting on you, bro. I'm waiting on you. Let me know when you're ready,
right,
man. I'm ready.
I appreciate you,
man.
No, man,
I appreciate you, man. I do. I appreciate you, man. What piece would you like to drop on us tonight?
This piece right here is going to be a piece about going for it. And you know what? That language that I had used in the beginning, that could have been misconstrued. You are a good friend, man. And I appreciate you pulling that out so that it sounded like exactly what it was.
Absolutely, bro. Hey, man, I got you, bro. I got you.
Yeah, man.
But my brother, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Cody. Brother Musa, on this day, like other days, I put this scroll into a gourd, setting the gourd into the current of the sea, in hopes that it finds you and the kingdom well. I do so miss Africa and the Mali people. But now you are on the other side of the sea. You see, Musa, I am there. And you are over there, where I used to dream to see just that is over here. I knew it would be risk to neck, life, and limb. But the sea beckoned me. So I turned my gaze to the great blue beyond, all aboard, and moved into the void. The journey was treacherous, and we lost nearly half our people. There was no life in the ocean storm. No, an ocean storm is not warm. But the next day was, when there is sand under your belly and the natives attending to your people, it's a warm day. Although this land is not like Africa, it is as untouched and beautiful, full of plants and animals that I have never seen before, with great giant birds that keep watchful eyes. Little brother Musa, be a kind, wide and generous mind, with law in your left eye and justice in your right, and be our people's king. Forever, your brother, Ulia. Paul.
Hey, bro. That's what I'm talking about, man.
Hey, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Man. Kudos to you, man. That was a very nice piece, Jay. I mean, listen, man. You know what you're doing, bro. You were definitely honing and mastering your craft, and I'm just glad that I'm here for the ride, man. I'm glad I'm here for the
ride. I appreciate you, man. I'm about to get ready to get back out, man. I start culling my Facebook list and everything, man.
That's
you don't know because you ain't. Because you're always going to be there. But, you know, I've been culling my list down to the people that that interact and deal with me personally. If there's a person on my Facebook page and they don't deal with me, it's not a slight to them, but I'm keeping it to the people I deal with.
Absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with that, man. Every now and again, we got to go through some things and reorganize and all of that good stuff. So. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
about.
Man. Yeah, but I'm gonna go ahead and pull out, man. But I will always be in contact with you, man, and swinging through. There's nothing that's happening right now, but it is on the horizon. My wife has been very generous with all of this, man. She didn't share me with y'all, so I'm the reason. She the reason why I'm here, because she had been raised in the hill and carrying on and all the rest of that type of stuff. I did it when I got a chance to, but I was able to do it for a long stretch. Every day with y'all, man. Y'all are awesome. When y'all went on vacation, I cheered that. You know, y'all need a vacation. Y'all got a tough job.
Thank you, bro.
Y'all have a bunch of different personalities that come through here, and y'all do well.
Thank you, bro. We appreciate that, man. We appreciate you, man. And it feels good to be back, man, from vacation and just doing these shows, man, because there's a lot more to us than just poets, man, which is what I try to inspire with this show, give us a voice to be able to just talk about some things, you know. And you did that tonight,
yeah.
My brother. You did a phenomenal job, man, and your piece was amazing, bro. But I got to get you over.
Yeah, man, you're a pretty good caller,
man,
too, bro.
Get you. Thank you, man. Listen, man. It felt good to be a caller tonight.
All right, bro. I'm out of here.
All right, bro. Get on over there to that VIP lounge. Grab you some bubbly, man. One love, one mic, bro.
Be easy, bro.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is our good brother, Just Jay, coming through tonight, doing his thing. Oh, man, what a show. You guys are phenomenal. And I really appreciate y'all taking time out on a Saturday to date me tonight and just talk about some things that was dear on your hearts tonight. And I really appreciate y'all for doing that. Make sure y'all tune in tomorrow night for the Inspiration Factory with Divine Inspiration Paul Sampson and yours truly, Poetic, as we attend church, y'all, and have a good time. Just know that without you, there is no Epiphany Radio. And we do not take your time for granted. You are an intricate part of this network, and we need you. We love you. And we're just so glad that you're here for us, and we want to be here for you. So, one love, one mic. Take your socks off, baby. And we'll see you tomorrow night. Peace.